This is a preface to the preface of this episode. So stay tuned for the preface. It's really good. But this preface is geared towards the recognition of this podcast having consistently uploaded material for 1 year's time. So when this is uploaded on Sunday the 6th, the very next day will be an exactly 365-day calendar year since our very first episode on the For the King podcast. So I just wanted to give a quick thank you for all of you that have tuned in and listened throughout the year, have supported the podcast, given it 5 stars, rated it, told your friends about it, followed us on Facebook, sent me an email interacting with the content. I'm so thankful for how God has blessed my endeavors in this. I pray that I have done it for His glory and not for my own. And as you can tell on the podcast, we're very dedicated to the knowledge of God's Word. We don't have any original ideas. I am just doing my best to expound upon what has been declared through God's Word for centuries, since the inception of the church. So I'm hoping to play a small role in, you know, a microcosm of this great victory of our King as the gospel goes forth to the ends of the earth and conquers every nation. So I hope you have felt encouraged in that you've felt the call of the podcast, that that's what we've been doing. So again, thank you for being with me and glorifying God with me and learning about our great King and treating Him in a noble and honorable manner, and submitting ourselves before Him in His Word. So yeah, I'm very thankful about what God has done in the podcast. We've definitely grown a lot. And in terms of goals and expectations for this next year would just be continued growth, Lord willing, and continued faithfulness to God's Word, exposition of God's Word, exegesis, proper interpretation, not bending the knee to liberal interpretations of the Scriptures, but that Bryce and I and whatever Christians I have on the podcast would continue to speak clearly the gospel and God's Word clearly. And for those that come on the podcast that maybe are not Christians and do not bend the knee to Christ, that they would hear the call, right, to heed the call to bend the knee to Christ. So that is my hope for the next year. I'm going to continue doing this because I really enjoy it. And I heard a great story recently of a man that he started a hobby of audio recording for audiobooks, Puritan works, great Puritan works. And all he would do is just record his voice reading through the book and then upload it, right, as an audiobook. And, you know, at first it wasn't big. I forget this guy's name. I wish I knew the name so I could drop the name and you guys could go look at it. But apparently it's gotten fairly large. It's got a pretty good following behind it and people use his resource a lot. But somebody asked him, you know, why did you do that? Like, why did you start doing that? Did you think it would be this big? And he was like, no, I didn't think it would be this big. And frankly, I did it because I wanted to do a hobby that kept me, a hobby, a godly hobby that reminded me of the truths of God's Word and who His Son, Jesus Christ, is on a daily basis, rehearsing the gospel on a daily basis as He would read these words penned and written down by Puritans centuries ago. So I think it is good as Christians for us to have hobbies that keep us, hobbies that remind us of who God is. It's good to have those hobbies. So if you want to start a podcast, I'd be more than happy to have you on to talk about what you're going to do about the podcast, how you're going to interact with God's Word, and to partner with you in the gospel as we proclaim God's Word to the populace, to the people all around us. So I hope you've been encouraged that there's just another guy. I'm just a layman. I'm not a pastor. I just love God's Word, and I am trying to glorify Christ by speaking about His Word and who He is in a clear manner, in a noble and upright, righteous, clear way that people would understand it and do justice to His Word and tell the glories of the King, the great King Jesus Christ. So those are my hopes. Those are my wishes. That's part of the story for the past year. And this year has been hard and a lot of things have happened in my life. So at this time last year when I started the podcast, my dad was still alive. Now he is not alive. And fairly certain he's in heaven. But I will have to see when I get there. I got married. That was a very large ordeal in my life. Very big change, but it's been amazing so far. It's such a good gift from God, marriages. And, you know, we always say, oh, like singleness is such a gift because, you know, Jesus was single. But it's like, no, Jesus came to marry the church. His bride is the church. So it's good to be married, and I love it. And it's been such a blessing in my life. It's been such a sanctifying thing, and God has obviously designed it that way. So those are some of the major things that have happened in my life. Moved out of my house. It's been very hard with my dad passing away, but it's been, in the midst of it, a grace from God, afflicting me in that way. I don't know why it was his will, but it was. But I feel like I grew from it. So learned a lot. Had to think a lot about the church and the state this year. Moving forward, I'm searching God's word for what it does say about what is the authority God has given the state and how Christians ought to react to it. Read a lot of good books, as you've heard in the book reviews. Just trying to grow as a young man. Partner with me in the gospel if you're enjoying the podcast. It's been a year, so thank you all for who stuck with me. And continue to partner with me in this endeavor and encourage and support your brother if you feel called to do that. I think we should encourage our brothers and sisters, and especially those that are in media. There's not a lot of godly Christian media. So if you think I'm doing an all right job, then I would love for you to support me in any way you can. Prayer first and foremost, financially if you'd feel inclined, giving me good ideas, coming on the podcast as a guest, pointing me to guests, just interacting with me. My favorite thing is when people just email me. That is great. So please just email me with thoughts. Hey, Rocky, I don't really think you did a good job with the text here. I think you and Bryce misapplied it. Or, hey, I thought you guys did do a good job here. The emails have been awesome that I've gotten from that. So just please do that. And I would appreciate it so much. I love it when people interact with me. My goal is to encourage the body of Christ in this as your fellow brother in Christ. Rocky, your brother in Christ. That's who I am. I'm just playing a small part in the kingdom of God as an ambassador of Christ. So I think that's maybe an update on the podcast and where we're at. We're going to continue to do, you know, Sundays, theology proper, Wednesdays, Christian worldview applications. I'll keep doing interviews and things like that. And I hope it's been edifying. And just let me know if there's ways I can be doing this better. It's been a year. I think I've gotten a little bit better at it. But I want it to be more entertaining. I think it can be kind of dry at times. That'd be my own internal critique of the podcast. I think the information's good. I think I'm doing a good job of presenting the information. And I've been told that. So I'm not trying to toot my own horn. But I do think it's not as entertaining as I'd like it to be. Bryce and I try to be funny and entertaining. I try to make the interviews entertaining. I'm still learning how to interview and do things like that. So, I need encouragement too. And let me know if there's any way I can be doing better. But again, a reminder, this podcast is for the King. So I do it all for the King. The King is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, second person of the Trinity. And now seated at the right hand of the Father after his death and burial and resurrection, victory over sin and death. This is the great King. I continue to do it for him. I will not forsake him. I will continue to follow him, and I will never give up. So join me as we continue to follow the King, the great King. And now hear this other preface. I'm sorry I did it that way, but I accidentally forgot to upload these together. So now onward to the next preface. Hey, I just wanted to say I am deeply sorry for the audio in this episode that you're about to hear. From the bottom of my redeemed heart in Christ, I am so sorry. I got a new phone, and there's something wrong with the microphone, like the stock microphone in it. But don't worry. I bought a new one. The microphone's great, so the Sunday series will not be like this from now on. It'll be better. So please accept my repentant heart. Enjoy the episode.
And in case you hadn't realized that, the one that talks about, oh death, where are your plagues, oh shale, where is your sting?
Yes.
That's a quotation from 1 Corinthians 15:55. And that goes to show to us that even though Hosea, the prophet, is speaking to Ephraim concerning their needs and how God is going to deliver them by paying their ransom, like Rocky was saying, how it points to a future reality, this ultimately points to the ransom made by Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that's how Paul applies it. Right, that's kind exactly. of the point. We need to look at the Bible, interpret the Bible, and Paul applies it in that way.
Don't think I will even ask you to make Jesus Lord of your life. That's the most preposterous thing I could ever tell you to do. Jesus Christ is Lord of your life. Whether you serve him or not, whether you bless him, curse him, hate him, or love him, he is the Lord of your life because God has given him a name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow and tongue confess that he is Lord. Some of you will bow out of the grace that has been given to you, and others will bow because your kneecaps will be broken by the one who rules the nations with a rod of iron. But I'll not apologize for this God of the Bible.
Psalm 110, verses 1 through 4. This is a psalm of David. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments from the womb of the morning. The dew of your youth will be yours. The Lord has sworn. He will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Oh.
Hello. There's a text for you, folks. Welcome to the For the King podcast. Wherever you're listening in from, wherever you're joining us in, we appreciate you spending some time with us to hear some good theology, to hear God's word proclaimed, but most of all, to hear about our great and mighty King, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who you're here for. That's why Bryce and I are here recording this podcast. So we're glad you're here with us. And if you're not here for the King, we hope to present you the King today. That you might bend the knee to him. And this text that we started off with is a good reason why you ought to bend the knee to him. If you don't know Christ and you're just listening to this at random or you just found it, the reason why you ought to bend the knee is because of this text right here. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So if you haven't bent the knee to the King of the universe, I posit and speculate that that makes you an enemy. So my rhetorical question to you is, when he says, until I make your enemies your footstool, you know, what do you think that means for you, right? It's in the text. It says that he's going to trample you underfoot. He's going to run you through with a spear. He's going to make you dust before him. From dust you came, to dust you'll be. And I wanted to read all the way to verse 4 to remind the listener that this text is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the King. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We read in Hebrews that this is a typological Melchizedek all the way back in Genesis, encountering Abraham, is a type of the priesthood of Christ that comes because he endures forever, right? That's kind of, you know, and Hebrews fleshes that out for us. So, a reminder, this is when he says, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make you your enemies your footstool. That is quoted in 1 Corinthians 11?
15. Yeah, 4 chapters.
I need to get my postman text down pat.
That text is quoted in 1 Corinthians 15:25, Matthew 22:44, Mark 12:36, and Hebrews 1:13.
Good.
And that's written in my Bible.
He has that right there. Those cross references. I can see them. I'm looking at them with my own two eyes.
Yeah. So but in case you guys didn't know that has happened.
Exactly.
The New Testament says it has.
Exactly. That is the point. The New Testament is clear when it's applying that text that Jesus has sat down at the right hand. We read it in Ephesians 1. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And now what's happening? All his enemies are being made a footstool. This is not something we're waiting for Christ after whenever for the Armageddon to happen. And then Christ will come back, set up his kingdom, and then he'll make all the enemies a footstool of his feet. We actually see in the text of Scripture that this is something that's already happened. So basically what we're getting at is post-millennialism is a great way to look at the text of Scripture. Mainly the Psalms and how they're applied in the New Testament.
Yeah.
So, be encouraged, brothers and sisters, if you're listening, that Christ is making all enemies your footstool. And if you don't know Christ, bend the knee, because this is the King. You will be made a footstool for his feet. I'd rather be under his feet, bowing at his feet, and not under his foot being crushed, right? It's a big difference there. You're going to want to repent of your sins that might not happen to you. So thanks for tuning into this podcast. And we usually do the 3 minutes there just to get a little bit of a real quick text, an encouraging text about the kingliness of Christ. But now, actually, the crux of what we're going to get at today is continuing on in our Gospel Foundation series that we've been going through the past, it's been a few months now, where we've just been describing gospel, foundational gospel truths to you, the listener, the audience, and also for a good reminder for Bryce and I as we record it. So we've done plenty of things so far in the Gospel Foundation series. This week we want to focus on the concept of Christ being our ransom, which is a foundational understanding of the gospel of a payment. So there's the three ways that we've wronged God in rebellion against him, being enmity. We're at enmity with God. We're his enemies. Therefore, we must be reconciled. We've already covered reconciliation. There is the legal problem we have before God as criminal. Christ is our justification. So we've covered that. And now the third way that Scripture presents us against God in rebellion is that we're indebted to him because of our sin. And the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:22. That is the wages. That's what we're due. So we're indebted to God in that way. Christ pays the debt in our ransom, which is this third way that the Bible presents us wronging God in our sin. When David says in Psalm 51, "Against you, O Lord, have I sinned." Anything you want to add, Bryce?
No, good.
Okay.
Good basic definition.
Analogy.
Huh? Analogy. Yeah, analogy.
Sorry, I'm interrupting you. I'm sorry.
You'll see in even in movies, you know, a kid of a rich parent will get kidnapped. And what does the thief always say? They leave a note and they say, "Leave us a ransom."
Yeah. If you want Tommy back, drop off a check with $1 million.
And if you don't,
we'll bust your kneecaps with a baseball bat, put you in debt, and hope it rains.
Exactly.
And I might cut you up and feed you to my pooches. I've been saying that all day to Bryce. I started carrying around my pocket knife to help open boxes at work. And I keep, you know, you remember the Joker off of Batman, he says that.
It's kind of funny. I bet it's entertaining watching a white collar man open a box.
Yeah, like, especially how I'm dressed. You I got a tie on. No. I have opened a box, though.
That's good.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
You probably manhandle that
one. Dude, I usually open it just with how firmly I'm grasping
every
it.
Every box you grab is always just mutilated.
It's in pieces.
You can never return anything. There's a ransom that the thief is trying to present to the rich parents. And what needs to happen, like you said, a payment, right? Leave us $1 million and we'll get your son back. Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the basic concept, the idea of ransom.
Yep. So let's get into the text for today.
You should have had it pulled up. Why'd you close your Bible? God gave you 10 fingers, one finger for each page.
I know. I think I
passed that thing. Okay. It's after Daniel.
I'll have to cut this out.
It's funny, you do something a little wrong, you cut it out, but if it's for anybody else, you just...
I usually leave in your blunders.
Yeah.
Okay, what was it? It's in 13,
14.
Or 14.
No, 13, 14.
Sorry, 13, 14. All right, Hosea 13, 14. Here we go. Hosea 13, 14. "I shall ransom them from the power of Sheol. I shall redeem them from death. O death, where are your plagues? O Sheol, where is your sting? Compassion is hidden from my eyes." So this text is talking about Ephraim, which is one of the tribes of Israel, I think one of the half-tribes, when it split after Joseph. So God is angry with them because of their iniquity. So in verse 12 it says, "The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is kept in store." So... and then in verse 13 it says, "The pangs of childbirth come for him, but he is an unwise son." So, we have an unwise son being presented to us in their iniquity, which is a type, of the ransom of Christ, what God is saying here, how he's going to ransom Ephraim from their sin, restore them back to God in right relationship with him. And what he's going to do is he's going to redeem them. So we've already talked about redemption, but he says first, I shall ransom them from the power of Sheol. So back to our analogy, if somebody's kidnapped, they're under the authority or power of their kidnapper, right? And to get them back from that power and get them back into the jurisdiction of the person that was over the kid before, right? Their parents that had authority over the kid. They want that kid back to wrench them from that the power of them. He says, here, I shall ransom them from the power of Sheol. So there's an exchange of power going on based on a payment, right? Because people, you know, money is power, right? I mean, that's a huge idea in humanity, that value or money is where the power is at, right? And Christ being of utmost value and sin being of the utmost affront towards God and towards his immeasurable value, and we sin against him, right? So our wages that are due us is death, this ultimate punishment of eternal torment and death forever in hell. So that is what's being presented to us here in Ephraim and their sin. God needs to ransom them from the power of death. And ultimately, that finds its fulfillment in the new covenant in Christ, the covenant of grace in Christ, by the ransom, the payment of Jesus Christ. So this is a type of the thing to come, which Bryce is going to present to us, right? I mean, that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Presented to us, yeah. And in case you hadn't realized that, when it talks about, oh death, where are your plagues? Oh Sheol, where is your sting?
Yes.
That's a quotation from 1 Corinthians 15:55.
Yeah.
And that goes to show to us that even though Hosea, the prophet, is speaking to Ephraim concerning their needs and how God is going to deliver them by paying their ransom, like Rocky was saying, how it points to a future reality, this ultimately points to the ransom made by Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and that's how Paul applies it.
Right,
that's kind
exactly.
of the point. We need to look at the Bible, interpret the Bible, and Paul applies it in that way. So this helps us look forward to Christ.
Yeah. A key text of hermeneutics is that you use the new revelation to better understand and interpret the older revelation.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that one is revelation and the other is not. All that simply means is that you can't watch the beginning part of the movie and think you understand it without ever watching the end.
Yeah.
Right? You get to see the whole thing in picture.
Exactly.
Okay. So another really big key text breaking off of this is in Mark 10:45, and it's also a very similar thing written in Matthew. This is a text that most people know about, but we're going to read it anyways. Mark 10, let's start in verse 43. But it shall not be among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. So this is after James and John request to be at Jesus' right hand, and Jesus says that they don't know what they're asking for, and it gets into this whole discussion about Jesus teaching them servitude. And Jesus ultimately teaches them what the ultimate servitude is and how you find it most clearly, and he ends up going on and saying this in verse 44. And whoever would be first among you must be a slave of all, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.
Yep. Amen.
So Jesus became a slave. Even though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. In what way did he empty himself? Not by laying aside his divinity, but by taking the form of a servant, by being humbled in the flesh. He came and died for our sins. So this is what we see here. Jesus didn't come just to be served by mere mankind, but he himself came to serve. He himself came to humble himself in such a way that those who were captive, as Isaiah says, Jesus spoke liberty to the captives. He set them free because he paid their ransom. Matthew talks about there's a strong man, and in the strong man's house, there's many riches.
Yeah.
But how do you plunder that person's house? You need a stronger man who will come and bind the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. The stronger man is Jesus. Satan is the strong man. Jesus comes, he binds Satan, and he plunders his whole kingdom.
Yes.
And now, because the one who had the power of death was Satan, the book of Hebrews says, Satan has been cast down. Satan's been destroyed. Jesus came to destroy the works of Satan, so that death might no longer have its sting on us. Right? So Jesus is paying the ransom, and how does he do that? By his own blood. And he paid a ransom for many. So a little quip on Calvinism here. It says many, it doesn't say all. Right? And the next text that we're going to read does say all, but we have to read these texts in light of one another and in their context. Right here, the ones that are ransomed, it's the bride of Christ. It's those who he died for, his elect. So Jesus came as a ransom for many, but again, came as a ransom. Right? He was the payment for us.
Yeah. Amen. That's good.
Yeah, very good.
And just to see the connection with captives, that we were captives, he came to set the captives free. I think in Ephesians 4 is where it talks about he went down, descended into Sheol, and he rose up with setting the captives free, right? Jesus came to set captives free, and one of the ways in which he does that, one of the glorious truths in the gospel is by paying a ransom. That is such a foundation. That's been happening all throughout human history. Has been, pay me this, I won't keep this bad thing from happening or whatever. You pay me off. That's such a huge thing. It's happened a million times probably this year already, or somebody got paid off or something. But we must remember when we're talking about, this is a real quick caveat, but we're going to get to our last text here. We must remember when Jesus is paying a ransom, he's not paying the ransom to Satan. He's not paying off Satan. I don't want anybody to jump to that conclusion. That means Satan won. God wasn't able to wrench all these souls that were held captive away from Satan, that God had to like pay Satan off in a way, and then Satan gets away with all this good money or like these wealth or these riches of killing Christ. You know, Satan really won over and got one over on God.
Yeah.
That is not the biblical view of ransom at all. What we see is that we are indebted. The wages of sin is death. God is the one that sends the body to hell. Jesus says, don't fear the one who can just kill the body. Fear the one who can send both body and soul to hell. God is the one that we are indebted to because of our sin. And when Jesus pays the ransom, he's not paying it off to Satan. He's defeating Satan by paying off the indebtedness of sin towards God as judge. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
He defeats Satan by paying off God. The only power Satan has is that by which God allows to happen because of our sin.
Yeah.
He hands us over to Satan. Remember when Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan wanted me to hand you over to him that you might be sifted like wheat, but I prayed for you that that might not happen. God hands us over to Satan. Satan's not so powerful that he rips. It's God allowing us to go on Satan's team, obviously, in our sin. And when Jesus pays the ransom, he's satisfying God's wrath, not Satan's wrath. And there is a place for Satan in the eternal fire, if you read Revelation.
Yeah, not as king.
Not as king. He doesn't rule. There's a place for him in the fire. There's not a place for him ruling over all the fire and all the tormented souls. There's a place for him right alongside all those that have rebelled against God. Satan is not the king of hell. God is the king of hell, and he's dishing out that punishment on a daily basis. So I want that to be said. So many people have posited that Satan is being paid off. That's in no way, shape, or form true.
Hell is the kingdom's dungeon.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a really good point that you brought up, Bob. I didn't even think about bringing that up.
Really?
You're right. That was a very historic heresy. It's the sort of dualism where Satan is of equal power of God. Satan had, in a sense, stole away God's people. And the only way, like you were mentioning, for God to get it back is to pay Satan off, which is unbiblical.
Yeah.
Ultimately. For the point you bring up, because it's not God is the offended party.
Yes, not Satan. Right.
And that's what makes the cross so glorious, is that the cross is a bridge between us and God.
Yeah.
We now have peace with God through faith in Christ.
Yeah, Jesus reconciles us to who? God.
The Father.
He makes peace with us with God, not peace with Satan.
Yeah.
He's not buying off us from Satan him and Jesus might like be appeased and be at good terms, like you would with somebody that steals your kid. Right. You want to be at good terms with the person stealing your kid. Whatever, right?
Right.
be at terms and have your kid back. That's not what's happening. We're being reconciled to God, not to Satan. So when Jesus pays the ransom, it's to God. And I, if you want a good contemporary view on that, you know, I got that idea and was really exposed to that by R.C. Sproul's book, The Truth of the Cross. So he talks about that a lot, but that's the ransom theory of the atonement,
yeah,
which is wrong, right? Saying that Satan was paid off in ransom. So let's get to our last text real quick as we wrap this up. Just wanted to say that because that's very important. That's a very historical heresy. Let's not think that way at all. That's a completely unbiblical way of thinking. So he says this. I'll read verse 5 and 6 in chapter 2 of 1 Timothy. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. And then Paul says in verse 7, I was appointed as a preacher of this. So this is a foundational gospel teaching that Paul says I've been tasked with, is teaching people that Christ came as a ransom to mediate us back to God. He's the mediator. He's the middleman getting us back to God. He intercedes for us back to get us back to God by dying and giving himself as a ransom. So let that just be completely connected to what I just said. There's one God. There's one mediator between us and men, bringing us back to God, being reconciled back to God. That is Jesus Christ. That does away with the ransom theory of the atonement. And then we see the teaching that Jesus Christ, that is the mediator, gave himself as a ransom for all. So back to Bryce's point, this is talking about churchmen. This is talking about those born again.
Yeah.
That have, and again, it doesn't logically follow. If Jesus has paid the ransom for every human being, then that means that there is no indebtedness now for any human being to sin if Jesus has paid them, right?
Right. And our pastor actually has a really good sermon on this specific text, and he brings up how this actually doesn't include an understanding of, like, unlimited atonement. So I can share a link to Rocky from
it. Yeah, I'll put that in there. Yeah, that's a good idea. But, we wanted to end here because this shows clearly that Paul was appointed to preach this as a foundational thing to the gospel. So this is just another, they all run together. Again, it's like a diamond. That's the analogy we've been using. This is just one of many, but Christ as the mediator has paid a ransom that was indebted to God because the wages of our sin is death, and God is the one dishing out that death to us. He's the one that is killing us and sending us to hell forever, like, you know, figuratively. Spiritually killing our body forever. He's the one that gives us our wages, which is death.
Yeah.
Eternal death. So, to pay that, Jesus is paying that off to God. Now, it's an odd, God has to appease God. This is the great conundrum of Christianity. Why does God have to appease God? And it is because of the eternal nature of our affront towards God in our sin, in rebellion. If you go into a used car lot and you scratch a car, it's not going to, you haven't incurred much wrath on yourself, right, from the owner or the local authorities. If you go on a Ferrari lot and you scratch a Ferrari, wow, you know, that's actually more dangerous. You go to a museum and find the Declaration of Independence and tear it to shreds, much bigger incursion, right? We've sinned against the God of the universe, right? So there is a large indebtedness that only God could solve by his son, Jesus Christ. And this is actually a beautiful Trinitarian understanding of who God is, that he is satisfying his own wrath through another person, Jesus Christ, same essence, which is what enables Jesus to die for our sins because he was perfect. And he fulfilled the law perfectly because he's God. So he's able to do that because he's God, but he's able to satisfy God's wrath because he is a person within the Trinity that are working together in this eternal covenant of redemption that they agreed upon before the foundation of the world.
Great.
Do you have anything you want to add to that?
That's great.
Okay. So, this is our great King. He's paid our ransom. Let's be thankful. Let's thank God day in and day out, right, that Jesus would pay our debt. This is something you often ought to pray to God for in Thanksgiving. This is the main problem with humanity is our sin. And God has solved that problem for us. So, we ought to be thanking him daily that he was a ransom for us and thanking Christ for him. Remembering Christ's death. That's what we do every week with the Lord's Supper. When we come to the table, we remember Jesus dying and purchasing us on the cross. That's what we rehearse on a weekly basis. This is very good news for us. This is the gospel. It's very good news.
And this is a free access to anyone.
Yep.
If you find yourself even now to this man, and that you
have a debt against God, you can have that debt completely removed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So trust in Him. Lean not on your own understanding, but put your faith in God, and you will have everlasting life. You will have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ because of the faith He provided for you. So put your faith in Him, repent of your sins, and turn to Christ.
Yep. Amen. Okay, so this has been another episode of the For the King Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. You can reach me at ForTheKingPodcast@gmail.com. You can go to the website at ForTheKingPodcast.com. We have a Facebook page that you can check out. I think that's all the updates. I think that's it, actually. Yeah. So thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. As always, I usually end with a doxology. I didn't have a prepared, so I'll be verse 17, 18, 4. The King of the Ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Soli Deo Gloria.